بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Respected elders and dear brothers, mothers and honorable sisters, we move on to the second part of our series. During the first 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, we discussed a few supplications that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned in the Quran. We have analyzed them, we've studied them, and now we move on to the second part of our series, where we are going to discuss and focus on certain du'as that were made by the righteous servants of Allah and certain anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, so that we understand the circumstance in which these du'as were made. We will commence with the dua of a very, very powerful woman, and she was introduced to us in the Quran as Imra'atu Fir'aun, the wife of Pharaoh, the wife of Fir'aun. She is not mentioned by name in the Quran. However, we learn of her name through the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was seated with his companions, he was seated with the Sahaba, and then khatta arba'a khutut. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam drew four lines on the ground where he was seated. And then he explained to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in, khayru nisa'il alameen. There are two separate narrations. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this situation, khayru nisa'il alameen, the best women that ever loved on the face of the earth are four. There are four of them, and that is why I drew these four lines on the ground. What is one narration? The other narration, khayru nisa'i ahlil jannah, the best women for the women of paradise are four women. Who are they? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Khadija bint Khuwaylid. Khadija, my wife. The first wife of mine, Khadija, the daughter of Khuwaylid. Wa Fatima ibnatu Muhammad. The second Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad. So the wife of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the daughter. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Wa Asiya bint Muzahim. And Asiya, the wife of Muzahim, Imra'atu Fir'aun, who is known in the Quran as the wife of the Pharaoh, the wife of Fir'aun. And the fourth woman, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, is Maryam ibnatu Imran, Maryam the daughter of Imran. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke very highly of Asiya alayha salam, the wife of Fir'aun. And so we find in the Quran as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes special mention of a dua that she made as she breathed her last, during her last few moments on earth. Allah speaks of the dua in Surah At-Tahrim. Before we come to the dua, let us see how the Quran introduces this great woman. This great woman, really, wallahi, she was a great woman. Why? Because she was a queen. She was absolutely powerful. She didn't gain her power because of her marriage to Fir'aun. That is one separate issue. But she was the granddaughter of the Fir'aun of Yusuf. In the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, there was a Fir'aun. Fir'aun is not the name of any particular individual, but Fir'aun is the title given to every leader and every ruler that ruled over Egypt. Was known as Fir'aun, as the Pharaoh. So the Pharaoh in the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, Riyan ibn al-Walid, he embraced Islam. He accepted Islam at the hands of Yusuf alayhi salam. Asiya was the granddaughter of this Pharaoh, Asiya alayhi salam. She was the granddaughter of the Pharaoh, great-granddaughter of the Pharaoh of Yusuf alayhi salam. So she was a powerful woman, extremely wealthy woman, extremely beautiful woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala endowed her with all these great qualities and attributes that every woman would love to possess, and every man would like to see in his wife. So she was married to one of the most powerful men that loved the earth and that walked the earth. In terms of wealth, in terms of physical physique, in terms of his strength, in terms of his military power, in terms of every aspect that you can think of in life, one of the most powerful men that lived on earth was undoubtedly Fir'aun. Pharaoh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Fir'aun ala fil ard. He had so much power, so much authority, so much political might, so much wealth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with great, great strength and powers that Allah says, Ala fil ard. He considered himself to be high over the earth. To the extent so much power Allah blessed him with that he announced to the people, Ana Rabbukumul A'la, I am your highest Rabb. I am your Rabb, the highest Rabb, and I am in control of the universe. So she was the wife of this powerful man. Can you imagine how powerful she was? How does the Quran introduce her to us? Amazing, beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Qasas, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِيهِ. Musa alayhi salam, his mother, she gave birth to Musa alayhi salam. We know the incident. We are not going to go into the details. After she gave birth to Musa alayhi salam, she could no longer keep the child. Why? Because the Pharaoh commanded and instructed that all male offspring that year should be slaughtered and should be butchered, should be killed. So Allah said, we inspired to the mother of Musa. An ardi'i. Now here we are having, Allah is introducing two women. One is the mother of Musa alayhi salam, who comes from a poor little village in Egypt. And on the other hand, Allah is introducing us to Imra'atu Fir'aun, the wife of Fir'aun, who comes from the palace of Egypt, an extremely powerful and wealthy woman. So Allah says, we inspire to the mother of Musa, an ardi'i, breastfeed the child. Ardi'i, breastfeed Musa, alayhi salam. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ, when you fear for his life, فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمْ, take him and throw him, cast him, release him into al-yam. Al-yam refers to the River Nile. Release him into the River Nile. وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي, don't fear. Allah strengthened her heart. Do not fear over your child, do not grieve over your child. إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكَ, most certainly we shall return him to you. وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, and we shall appoint this little baby of yours as a messenger. So she releases the child into the River Nile. فَالْتَقَطَهُ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ, on the other side of the River Nile, or lower, along the banks. So you have on one end, this woman filled with grief, filled with sorrow. Of course, can you imagine the emotions she experienced at that time? We spoke about her heart at that time. وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا. Allah says her heart was absolutely free from every other thought apart from Musa. The only one on her mind and in her heart was Musa alayhi salam. So here on the one end, you have this mother who releases the child into the River Nile. And on the other hand, end, you have Imra'atu Fir'aun Asiya. She's strolling with her maidens. She's strolling along the banks of the River Nile. And they, looking and enjoying the view of the River Nile, she sees a little crate or a box floating on top of the river. She sends one of the maidens to go and they retrieve the box with the assistance of some of the servants, and they bring the box to her. Allah says, فَالْتَقَطَهُ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ, the family of Fir'aun, they picked up this child. لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا. Allah says, the family of Fir'aun, they the one who retrieved the box, they picked up the child, only so that this child may be a source of grief for them and a source and an enemy unto Fir'aun. Allah says, وَقَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ فِرْعَوْنَ. Here Allah introduces her. Imra'atu Fir'aun Asiya. Allah introduces her to us. Allah says, and the wife of Fir'aun, what did she say? They brought the box before Fir'aun, and the box was opened, and she saw this child. Subhanallah. On the one end of the river, you had a mother who was suffering from grief that cannot be explained, and on the other hand, this child brings a smile and happiness to the face of another woman. Allahu Akbar. That same child, that baby was a source of grief for one woman at that moment. And that very same child, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that child a source of joy and happiness in the hands of Asiya, Imra'atu Fir'aun. So when she saw the child, Fir'aun of course had other intentions to kill the child and to murder the child. What did she say? Qurratu Ayn. We spoke about Qurratu Ayn, correct? In the dua that we have learned. Qurratu Ayn, oh my husband, Pharaoh, oh Fir'aun, this child brings such coolness, such peace, such comforts to my eyes. Qurratu Ayn li walak. And it seems as if you also seem to like the child. La taqtulu, don't kill the child. Asa ayyan fa'ana, perhaps this child will be of some benefit to us. Aw nattakhidhahu walada, or perhaps we will adopt this child as a child of our own. Wahum la yash'urun. So Allah introduces the wife of Fir'aun to us. What happened then? We know the lengthy incident. Musa alayhi salam then eventually grew up and he moved over to Midian to Shu'aib alayhi salam, and then he comes back and he performs all these miracles before Fir'aun, and the magicians, all of them embraced Islam and they embraced the message of Fir'aun. Asiya, she witnessed this. She, when Musa alayhi salam came into the court of Fir'aun and he performed these miracles with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Asiya, as much as those 70,000 magicians were influenced and convinced that that was not magic, and they all embraced Islam there and then on the spot in front of Fir'aun. Fir'aun had them all killed, he had them all crucified, but they refused to let go of that iman that settled within their hearts. On that moment, Asiya, she observed this and she was very much impressed by Musa alayhi salam. So she had embraced Islam. Very quietly, secretly, she accepted the message of Musa alayhi salam. She embraced Islam. She would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in privacy, secretly. Fir'aun was unaware of the religion that she had embraced and the faith that she had adopted. How did her iman become known to Musa alayhi to Fir'aun? One day, Mashitatu ibnatu Fir'aun. Fir'aun's daughter, Allah knows whether this daughter was from Asiya, there's no record of that, or whether this was a daughter that he had from another woman. But she had a private or a personal hairstyler, a personal hairdresser. Right? She is known in hadith as the Mashita. Mashita comes from Musht. Musht means a comb. So she was the Mashita. She was the hairdresser of the daughter of Fir'aun. And she embraced Islam secretly as well. This hairdresser, this hairstylist. No one knew of her Islam. One day she was combing and she was styling the hair of the daughter of Fir'aun. And the comb fell to the ground. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks of this incident. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going for Mi'raj. He was going for Isra. And as he passed a certain spot, a certain area, He detected a very wonderful and beautiful and sweet fragrance. And he said, Jibreel, where is this fragrance coming from? It's such a wonderful fragrance. Jibreel said, this fragrance is coming from the grave of the hairdresser of the daughter of her Fir'aun, who was buried along with her children who were murdered before her eyes. This fragrance is coming. So Rasulullah says, what, I mean, how did she earn this? Where did all this come from? What happened? Jibreel then explained the incident. And this incident that I'm relating to you is the incident that Jibreel alayhi salam had related to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while they were undertaking this journey. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, tell me about this woman. So Jibreel says that one day she was the hairdresser after embracing Islam. She was combing and styling the hair of the daughter of Fir'aun and the comb fell to the ground. So as she went to pick up the comb, she said, Bismi Rabbi, in the name of my Rabb. In the name of my Rabb. So the daughter of Fir'aun says, you're referring to my father, that is, right? Because he is a Rabb, he is the sustainer and he is the Lord. So the daughter, the hairstylist, the hairdresser, she says, Rabbi wa Rabbu Abi. No, I'm not referring to your father, I'm referring to my Rabb and the Rabb of your father. She became extremely upset at this. And immediately she went to Fir'aun and she said, this is what the hairdresser had to say. That she believes in someone else as a sustainer, as a god other than you. Fir'aun had her summoned and brought her before him. And Fir'aun said to her, who do you believe in? Ana Rabbul Alameen, the Rabb of Al-Alameen, the Rabb of Musa and Harun. I have brought iman in this Rabb. He is the one in whom I believe. Fir'aun became extremely, extremely upset. And he brought her before the community to make a lesson out of her. And he decided to murder her. But what did he do? He told the servants and his staff members to ignite a huge fire on which a huge cauldron, a huge pot was placed, and that pot was filled with boiling oil. And then he said, bring all her children. Bring all her children. Wallahi, look at the iman of these people. You and I today, we're living in a time where because of Islamophobia, sometimes we are too embarrassed to identify ourselves as Muslims. Sometimes we find it difficult to maintain an Islamic identity, simply because the Islamophobia that we face out there, simply because of the looks that we might get when we are walking through a certain airport or we are in a certain country. So because of the Islamophobia that we face, we are very eagerly or very happily or quickly, we are prepared to let go of our Islamic values and our Islamic principles simply to
to please others from whom we fear that we might feel or we might receive certain negative perceptions. But look at this woman. All her children was brought, and that's why. So she made a request. And Fir'aun says, before I put you into this cauldron, before I put you into this huge pot and melt you to death, I'm going to put each one of your children in before your very eyes. And he started with the eldest child. Subhanallah. Can you believe the heart of this woman? She's the hairdresser, the hairstylist of the daughter of Fir'aun. One by one, Fir'aun kept on asking her, when he puts in the next one, he says, now tell me, do you still believe in the Rabb? I still believe in the Rabb of Al-Alameen. The third child, all the children, she had a little infant child in her hand. And that was the last of the children. And by now she was, you can imagine, her state and her condition. And she was totally, totally, battered emotionally, psychologically. You can only imagine what was her state at that point, watching every child of hers burned alive before her very eyes. And then she sensed some fear and hesitation. And on that child, on that moment, this child spoke to the mother. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, there are four children who spoke during their infancy, correct? One was Isa, the son of Maryam. The second was the Shahid in the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, when Zulaykha tore his shirt from the back. There was a little baby in the room, and the baby said that if the shirt was torn from the front, then Yusuf is to blame. If the shirt was torn from the back, then she is to blame. The third was who? Nabi Sassam says, this little child. This little child whom this mother was holding onto, the hairdresser was holding onto. What did the child say to the mother? Says, oh mother, do not fear, do not panic, plunge yourself into this cold room. And that's exactly what they did. So this happened before the public, and it happened before Asiya. Now Asiya was already a believer in Allah. Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. And she could not contain her emotions. And she could not contain her feelings. So that night she goes to Fir'aun and she says, oh Fir'aun, I too am a believer in the Rabb of Musa. And she revealed her iman and she exposed her true identity to Fir'aun. What did Fir'aun do? Immediately he had her chained up. He had her tied and he started torturing her. Look at what she gave up. What life she gave up. All the glitter and the glamour that many of us today are ready to sacrifice our Islamic values for. She gave it all up. All that she had, the power, the might, the beauty, the wealth, she had it all. She was a queen of the most powerful man on earth at that time. But her vision, and I think that's where we've gone wrong. The akhirah is no more the objective. But she knew that Jannah is my objective. This palace is nothing compared to the palace in akhirah, in Jannah. So that's where she had her gaze. Recognition, if I get the recognition in this world, I don't need the recognition in this world. Allah will give me recognition in akhirah. That is more important. I'm not going to go out looking there for some cheap recognition and popularity when Allah is going to give it to me in akhirah. Right? So the focus was now akhirah. So Fir'aun had her tortured and whipped and lashed, but she still refused to give up her faith. Eventually, what he decided to do is he told his security forces to take Asiya alayhi salam out into the open, into the desert. And they had her pegged down onto the ground. Both her arms were pegged down and her legs were pegged onto the ground. She could not move. And then a huge boulder, a huge rock was placed onto her chest. And on that occasion, Allah speaks in Surah Al-Tahrim. Now she's about to die. She's about to die. And this is a dua that I want to draw your attention to. Allah says, subhanallah, what does Allah say about us? Allah says, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ. Allah says, Allah has made the wife of Fir'aun, Allah has made her an example of faith for the believers. Allah says, you want to see an example of faith, of iman? Through iman, no matter what the circumstances may be, what the conditions may be, whether we are faced with Islamophobia or not, whether I go to a university where it seems very uncomfortable for me to maintain my Islamic identity, whether I'm in a country or in company, no matter what, Allah says, you want an example of faith and true iman? Allah says, I've made this woman, the Asiya, Imra'atu, the wife of Fir'aun, I have made her an example for you in iman. So whenever you are faced, and it's difficult, considering the environment in which we live, it's not easy. The Islamophobia, alhamdulillah, in South Africa we are relatively comfortable. Not much of that, but people living in other countries, in the UK and other places in the world, where they are constantly harassed, the woman, it's hard for her to put on a hijab and so forth, but let her keep this woman in front of her. Let her keep this woman, Asiya ibnatu Imratu Fir'aun, before her. Allah says, Allah has made her an example. Look at what she did for Iman. Look at what she sacrificed for Imran, for Iman. Allah says, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا. Allah has made an example for the believers who? Allah has made Imratu Fir'aun, the wife of Fir'aun, an example. So she's lying there, she's pegged to the ground, she can't move, and this huge boulder is on her chest. Look at the dua that she made. إِذْ قَالَتْ. She turned to Allah. رَبِّ بْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. رَبِّ مَا رَبِّ إِبْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ. Build for me near you, بَيْتًا, a palace in Jannah. That's the dua that she makes. She's leaving this world. She's about to breathe her last. And the scholars and mufassirin explain that on that occasion she was smiling. Why was she smiling? Allah showed her that palace in Jannah before she left this world. رَبِّ ابْنِ لِعِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Oh Allah, see, your focus should be Jannah. Your focus should be Akhirah. Your focus should be the happiness of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it will become much more easier for you to face the criticism and the overwhelming environment out there. It will become much, much more easier. If the focus is right, if the focus is on Allah, because then you'll be prepared to sacrifice anything. Because it's for Allah, for something which is eternal, for something which is genuine. So what did she say? She says, my Rabb, as she's leaving this world, and according to some narrations, they actually dropped the boulder onto her until she died. The boulder was released and it fell directly onto her and crushed her to her death. But on that occasion, Allah loved this dua so much. And what did she say? O my Rabb, build for me indaka, near you. Indaka, by you, near you, O Allah. What should you build for me? Baytan, a house. Where? Fil Jannah, in paradise. Build for me this house in paradise. وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنِ. Oh Allah, save me from Fir'aun. I do not need Fir'aun in my life. I do not need the power. I do not need the glitter and the glamour. I do not need the palace of this world. I do not need the wealth and the beauty of this world. I want the palace in Jannah. So save me, oh Allah, from Fir'aun and the acts of Fir'aun. وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. And oh Allah, save me and guard me against the oppressive nation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Tomorrow, inshallah, we will try and discuss another dua that was made by Ayyub alayhi salam. Ayyub alayhi salam was a great, great Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he was afflicted with a very rare disease. You know, sometimes you hear people suffering these days of certain diseases that there are no cure for. And for them, we tell them to study the dua and the circumstances in which Ayyub alayhi salam found himself when he was affected with this illness and with this disease, and the dua that he made to Allah Azza wa Jal to cure him from these illnesses that he had suffered from. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدَهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.